Well, we'll start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And for me, being this is, you know, kind of a weekend of the steps, we were going to read the steps, and then I thought, you know what, let's keep it simple. And I have this little thing here that I copied years ago, and I was actually in the program in 87. But anyway, it's the Alatine steps. And I love them because it keeps it simple. Because step one is I can't. Step two is God can. Step three, let God. Step four is look within. Step five is admitted our wrongs. step six is ready self for change. I like that. Ready self for change. And then step seven is seek God's help. That's humbly asking. Becoming willing. And eight, making amends. And nine, daily inventory is 10. Prayer and meditation. And then the last one, I love it, what they say here, keeping it simple, give it away. I can't keep anything if I don't give it away, and especially this program. Hi, I'm Vic.
I'm Jim.
Hi, Jim.
We're doing this. We were thinking about it, and why we said the 1, 2, 3 waltz, and I'm going to start off just, and I'm going to try to keep it not long, whatever, but it's, I believe, and this is just something I've learned since I've been in the program and I've been in a few 24 hours, is that newcomers have a real hard time getting to four. Number four is fear-based. So a lot of people that are brand new do 1, 2, and 3 over and over, and they kind of make it a waltz. You know, they get to there where they're going to start out in four, and then they kind of waltz back. Oh, I might need to do step one again. I'm not sure. The fourth step. And all of it's based, in my opinion, and if you have an issue, you can talk to me later. But I think it's based on fear. And there's two or three acronyms or more for fear. One of them is, well, I won't use the word, but it's kind of screw everything and run. the other one is face everything and recover. And then there's another one, forgetting everything, everything's all right. And, you know, the reason I think about this as a waltz is with that fear, you know, we first start out in step one as far as being powerless. And a lot of people really have a hard time. I know when I came here as a man, all I wanted was my wife to get sober and our life would be wonderful. And I walked in a room of 20 women. I had one at home and I didn't need 20. So I didn't think they were going to do anything for me. Well, those ladies in that room showed me courage, dignity, and grace that I never saw in the time that I spent in the Marine Corps. I learned about courage in there, but a different courage I learned here. I learned a lot of things as far as these steps. And to me, the amazing thing with these steps, and I carry a lot of stuff around. I got a bag under the table, but I carry stuff in my pockets and everything else. But I want to touch base on each one of them very shortly, a short period of time. But step one, admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. To me, what it was is I couldn't believe that I didn't have power. And I finally learned that the power I had was that I thought I had power over you. I thought I could take care of you and make you do. I wanted my wife in this little box, and she would kick the sides down and flatten that box right out. She didn't even hesitate. And guess what? I didn't have any power over that at all. And then I have other family members that are have their own issues. I had a brother picked up with 9 bottles of crack cocaine, and I couldn't do anything with him. Now, he didn't serve much time in jail because he was a good boy. They didn't get him for selling. So he got very lucky or blessed or something. Somebody was looking out for him. So I understand this craziness of the disease. And coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, well, I wasn't insane. There was nothing wrong with me, thank you very much. These ladies could tell me that I was insane, but you know something? When I saw my behavior on several occasions, I found out my life was pretty insane. One of the stories that I tell that's part of my life and part of what I did when I thought I was doing things and my life wasn't insane is my wife was drinking, and I always felt she was drinking at me or whatever, but she was in our spare bedroom. She moved in, and I'm going to make this quick, but I thought I was going to get her to stop doing that. So one night I just walked in there, and I was one of those nights where I was 8 feet off the ground. I was going crazy, and I grabbed her by the back of the head, and she had a bottle of black velvet or brandy or whatever there, and I was pouring it. I was pouring it down her. I was going to make her stop. This was going to show her how bad this was. She was spitting out what she couldn't drink, laughing at me like I was out of my mind. And as a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, Bob Lahan, says, you know, thoughts go through your head. The thought went into my head is, if the cops walk in right now, who's unmanageable? They're going to arrest me. They aren't going to touch her. I am the crazy person. So that's why, for me, I knew my life was unmanageable. I had to start working on myself and leaving this alcoholic alone and allow that person the dignity to do whatever they were going to do. And that's scary. Sometimes it's very fearful, you know, because, you know, alcoholics die. We do, too. I know several Al-Anons that got into that dark hole and didn't get out. And that's what happens in this disease of alcoholism. And to me, when it gets to the third step, I think people need to really understand, and keep me on time, Jim, kick me or something, whatever.
Now?
Whatever. The third step to me is making a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And that's where I think a lot of people who come in this program don't understand that it's just making a decision. You know, you've just got to make the decision to do that. And it's, and if you really look at the words carefully, it says care. It doesn't say, you know. And what I had to learn through my first sponsor, who was a dual member, who's no longer around, but one of the things he told me is, you know, the important thing is it's your thoughts and your actions. That's what you have control over. You know, in our literature, it talks about that our higher power, God, whatever you choose, gave us reasoning and thought. And the reasoning and thought is for me to take care of me, not to take care of you. If I do that, then I am trying to take over that power again that I don't have. And my life will get unmanageable. And then in the third step, to me, I think people, when they get to four and that fear happens, is because they are scared to talk to their higher power. And they think they're going to do step four alone. And guess what? What does everything say in our literature? We. And you're not alone. And that we is your higher power in your pocket, or wherever you keep your higher power. It should be in your heart, but wherever you keep your higher power. And to me, it's important to understand too that it's so important to start that inventory and understand ourselves. See, that's the scariest part of that. I mean, for me, working the steps was a miracle for me, because step four to me, And I know we're talking about 1, 2, 3, but I believe a lot of people stay on the first three steps so long as they run in fear as far as doing that four-step inventory. Now, if you got another thought about that, you can talk to me after. But I have seen a lot of people do that 1, 2, 3 waltz. You know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then I talk to them, oh, I'm on step 3 again. Or I'm on step 1 again. I need to go back to step 2. But there's reasons we do those things. And that's why Jim and I have two different talks that we're doing here. And mine is, I really want to talk to the newcomer. I really want the newcomer to understand that sometimes you got to get past that fear. You got to talk to your higher power, talk to your sponsor, and work on those steps. I mean, that's what this day is about. Our elevator's broke. Do those steps. You know, they are 12 steps, not standstills. We don't sit around. We work on them, you know, and it's very important to do that. And I think it's probably about time for me to shut up. So, and if you got any other things that you would like to share after Jim and I are done, please share. Please talk to us.
Great. Thanks.
My sidekick.
No, I'm Jim. Yeah, we kind of decided to do this because I know for me, I'm kind of talking about more the maintenance side of thing of the steps where, you know, we've gone through the steps. I've gone through them a couple times and a couple, three times. And I come back and do step 1, 2, and 3 regularly because I'm not perfect. The people around me aren't perfect, so I'm continually having to remind myself that step 1 is acceptance, and we're turning our will in our lives, admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And there are times where my life still becomes unmanageable, and there are issues that come up. My main culprit is my mom. And I worked through a lot of issues, and it wasn't until I came back, and I think probably the second time I did the steps, and I realized that she was not going to change. And as much as I wanted her to, as much as I wanted my background and my history and my upbringing to change, none of that was going to change. So the only person that could really change is me. And I started looking at setting up boundaries around my relationship with her. She was intrusive. She was very controlling. And I felt, and very critical. And so I had to start establishing boundaries around what I would allow my relationship to be. And when she would start becoming intrusive, asking a question about, when are you going to get married, or who are you dating, and how's your relationships going? I'd have to just let her know it started out as, it's none of your business, Eileen, which, you know, just put up the wall. And eventually it got to, I'd rather not talk about it. That's personal. And it was difficult to start doing that. The first time it was very uncomfortable saying that. But I realized I didn't have to share everything with her. And I remember this one time I had flown out to Baton Rouge, where my sister owned a house, and we're getting ready to sell it. So I flew out there for a week and brought some tools. And I was in the kitchen, and the little parquet wood floorings, the little pieces, they were all like just sitting in a little pile. And so I was trying to place them where I wanted to glue them back down, and I just felt this presence behind me, and it was not my higher power. And I was just waiting for her to say something, and as soon as she did, I said, Mom, I think I was about 45 or 40, something like that. I'm amazed that I became 40 without you hovering over me, telling me everything to do. And she got it, because I had already started that putting up the boundaries, and I was a little past the anger. I mean, there's still a little attitude in my voice. But it was a matter of accepting her for who she was. She didn't change. She's still the same person that she was then. But I started changing the way I interacted with her and the way I was thinking about her, accepting her for who she was. And I think when I started changing and putting up boundaries, just like teenagers and kids, they need to have boundaries and guidelines. She started changing. The interaction that we had was changing. So step one really helps me in working through things where I'm still looking for the other person to change. I'm still looking for the situation to change. And the only person I can change is me. And step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That allowed me to look at how I can let go of control of situations on my own and not try to change everything around me. And looking at it from the point of view of having a higher power, or having something that's more powerful than myself. I mean, I'm Christian. I believe in God. Not everybody does. But step two allows for having some kind of a power greater than ourselves that we could turn things over to that can help keep us sane. Because I know that if I try to control everything, I am going to go insane. And typical Al-Anons, we're used to trying to keep control of things and manage everything, every little aspect of my life. My sponsor used to call me Perfect Jim, and there was a reason for that, because I was a perfectionist. And so eventually, over time, I was able to mention that that wasn't the most supporting thing to say to your sponsee. And so, but I had to get the point that I didn't, not everything had to be perfect. And my stepdad said one time that, because I always thought 98% of my decisions all had to come out okay. And that's being a little perfect. Or trying to be a little perfect. And my stepdad, who he started law school at 52 years old, love him dearly. My they were married for 38 years, and he passed away in 2012. They were married 38 years, gosh. So he helped raise me. I was going through law school. I was having a hard time. I was going through college, too. And he said, you know, Jim, if you make 51% of your decisions that come out okay, you'll be successful. And I thought, wow, that's a huge, huge gap between 98% and 51%. And so I started giving myself a little bit of a break of not having to have everything come out perfect, because it wasn't going to happen. I was just driving myself crazy by, you know, continuing to mull everything over and do all this research, which I still do for decisions, but not, it doesn't have to come out perfect. And I could always change my mind. So step three, made a decision to turn up my will and my life over to the care of God as we understood him. I just came out of the step three workshop in the first session, and somebody came up with a very good suggestion that in the beginning it says made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. And so when you make the decision, you're not actually acting on it. And so the example was three frogs sitting on a log, and they're in a pond, and one frog made a decision to jump in the water. How many frogs are there left on the log? Well, there's still three, because the one frog only made a decision. He didn't do that. He didn't jump in. And so turning my life over to the care of my higher power, making the decision doesn't mean that I'm doing it. It's just making the decision to do that. And when I had a little bit of a hard time with step three, because it was exclusive, made a decision to turn our life over to the care of God. But there was that the way we understand him. And so I'm Christian. I said, I'm Christian. I believe in God. And but Al-Anon and alcoholism and AA is an inclusive organization. And if you believe in Buddha, or if you're Jewish, or if you're Muslim, not everybody has the same belief in some kind of a power greater than themselves, the same as I do. So I think that as we understood, helps me to encompass being inclusive of everybody. No matter who's standing in that circle at the end of the meeting, holding hands and giving our, saying whatever closing that we might have. So I just really quickly wanted to read this one page from the Courage to Change. And by the way, you can get that online. You can download it. And so January 23rd, in step three, we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. This is a big decision for those of us who have a tough time making even small decisions. Until I found Al-Anon, I tended to let others decide how I should live, where I should go, and what I should do. The paradox is that though I took little responsibility for my own life, I saw myself as an expert on everyone else's life and felt accountable for all that happened. Perfectionism. The order in which the first three steps are written helped me to overcome these attitude problems. First, I accepted my inability to control the disease of alcoholism and admit that my life is unmanageable. Next, I came to believe that the power greater than ourselves, than myself, can help. After taking these two steps, it becomes possible, desirable, and even logical to make the enormous decision to turn my life to a higher power's care. Today's reminder: at the start of each day, I can make the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. This way, I begin my day with a strong assertion that I choose to accept the reality of my life. I am moving in a healthy direction, growing even more able to live a good life and to love those I meet along the way. And a quote from Paul Tillich: decision is a risk rooted in the courage of being free. And I like that page, and it kind of encompasses the first three steps and kind of emphasizes on the third step. So I went over. You didn't kick me.
We love you, Jim.
So it's the 123123 waltz, and if anyone would like to share on that, and the meeting's open.
I'm Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Thank you guys very much.